with me in your Bibles to our two opening text scriptures of Psalm 34:18 and Psalm 147:3. Psalm 34:18 and Psalm 147:3. We are continuing our series on God, Heal My Heart. God, Heal My Heart. And I believe that today's conversation is just simply meant to take you to the water. I do not intend to exhaust this particular topic because I personally have been learning about this topic for the last 13 years of my life and have yet to master this topic. Now, we've said before, as we read here in Psalm 34:18, verse 18, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed." In Psalm 147:3, it says, "He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds." We're going to continue to look at the promise that God has given that he will bandage the wounds in our lives. And as we've seen before, to fulfill his promise of bandaging our wounds, God will use grace, truth, and time. But this next element that we'll talk about today is one of the most important elements as it relates to walking in healing, and at the same time, one of the most difficult elements to walk in, and that is this area of boundaries. Will you all join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the time that we have in your word, what it is that you desire to communicate to us in your scripture. Holy Spirit, I'm a yielded vessel for you to utilize any way that you deem necessary. So as we speak in our time today, open up hearts, perform heart surgery to both those who are here as well as those who are watching online. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And everyone says and types in, amen, amen. Let's talk about boundaries, you all. Boundaries don't only deal with what we keep out of our life, but we're also going to be talking about boundaries today, about the habits, the connections, the relationships that we are to keep into our life so that we can live a life of perpetual health. Often we talk about what's eliminated, but very seldom do we talk about here are the things that we want you to now substitute from the behaviors that weren't producing at the level in which you desired. Recently, there was a news article that came out that had done an insider survey of 1,000 American workers. 61% of the workforce that they polled said they were currently at least somewhat burned out. And an Indeed report from March found the majority of respondents said their burnout worsened during the pandemic, with 52%, so one in every two individuals are saying they're currently burned out right now. If you think about what happened during the pandemic, a lot of those who worked outside of the house had to bring their work inside of the house. And so that natural separation of responsibility was lost for an extended period of time without the ability or the notion of safety to go out and interact and have safe outlets. And so those who are in the mental health profession will tell you that their calls skyrocketed, that the issues, the traumas became more pronounced and more intense, and their calendars began to fill up, all because we lost boundaries and people were being triggered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for mental distress that they knew previous to the pandemic, or mental distress that was revealed in the midst of pandemic. And so we must be able to manage the tension of being available for others while at the same time embracing separateness, which comes from intentional unavailability. And this will enable us to lead full, productive lives and be relational people, but here's the key, without resentment. Can you imagine if you lived a 7-day week and you did every task that didn't have a level of oh, I wish I didn't accept that obligation. Anytime I feel a level of resentment, it means that I've overcommitted myself and I need to evaluate what is driving me to do just that. And so today we're just going to have a brief conversation, or brief-ish, you know, y'all know how I get to talking, but a brief-ish conversation on boundaries. It's something that all of us every so often need to adjust and reset, because our lives are fluid. Seasons change. Responsibilities increase and decrease. And we can't just set our boundaries and leave them and think that they're going to be on autopilot and they're going to work well for us long term. It has to be a daily check-in with our calendar. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. A daily check-in to see, how am I managing all of the responsibilities that I have in my life? Because quite honestly, as much as a lot of us would like to just sail away and float on, there's a reality that we just can't. We have bills. We have responsibilities. We have children. We have people depending on us to perform at a high level on a consistent period of time. And in this study of boundaries, the person that I look to the most, who I believe exercised excellent boundaries in ways in which I am still ascribing to be just like, and that is the life of Jesus. If you look in the Gospels, Jesus had to fulfill an entire old covenant in 3 years of time. To put that in perspective, there are some of you that have been a part of the Outlet community from the very beginning in 2018. Well, we're now at 3.5 years. So Jesus had a shorter amount of time than we've been open to accomplish every prophecy that was written about his life. And I would dare to say that Jesus was a high-capacity leader with a lot riding on him. But he also understood this key I want us to first look at, this key of intentional availability, or really the title of the segment of part 3 of God Heal My Life, or God Heal My Heart. It's the space between us. Jesus knew that it was his job to save the world. And I know sometimes we think that it's our job to save the world now that he's ascended and sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he knew that it was literally on him to accomplish over 613 prophecies written about him. Yet he did, and he took a day off. And he did it in 3 years. So what about this secret that Jesus had that we need to see? I want to give you all a couple of references, and then I'll speak more about this last reference. Write down in your notes or in the YouVersion Bible app, you'll see the reference of Mark 1:35. You'll also see Mark 6:30 through 32. But the one that stands out to me is Luke 5:16. And in Luke 5:16, Jesus said, or the word says, that Jesus often withdrew. Often withdrew to the wilderness, disconnected from his responsibilities to pray. It wasn't he sporadically did, he often withdrew. But I noticed something about his intentional unavailability. It was before or after seasons of high demand. And so now this requires a level of strategic planning on our end, where you need to begin looking at your calendar and taking an inventory of, what am I committed to, and have I reached capacity, or am I not stewarding my time properly? Every week, Apple shows me my time wasters, and there is no way I have spent 24 hours this week on Instagram. An entire day. But yet feel like I don't have enough time in the day to accomplish what I need to accomplish. How many conversations just pop up outside of your schedule that you take a moment that leads to 2 hours and now gets you off track from your assignment. One thing that I've noticed in implementing more availability to our church and for those who want to interact with my wife and I, we have to set our hours of availability. And anyone who cannot change their schedule to meet our hours don't want to meet with us. Because if you really want it, then you'll adjust to it. In fact, there was an individual who reached out to us for some marital counseling. Said, my marriage is on the rocks, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that my marriage improves. Cool. It's urgent. Cool. Here's my calendar. Hey, Pastor Vince, I don't see any times that work for me. Well, then we're not willing to do whatever we got to do to make our marriage work. And I am not going to get into the Savior complex to say, well, let me see if I can adjust something and move something around to help your marriage. Then I'm going to need to come see you to heal my marriage, because now I'm all out of whack. And so what happens is we rearrange our whole life to save people who have no intention of saving you. So you feel like I'm depleted. That's the resentment that comes with overriding your set limitations. And when I thought about the life of Jesus, where it says he often withdrew to pray, before he withdrew in Luke 5 and 16, before he healed a leper, and right after he healed a paralytic. So we have to be strategic in our time to know, when I have downtime, when I have cancellations, don't fill your cancellations with more work. That's God trying to tell you, use this buffer to refuel, because he sees what's ahead and he's already giving you the rest that you are going to talk about that you need. And so this is how we get into sin. It's progressive and it's over a period of time, but it comes with a damaged soul that does not have boundaries in place to protect us for the long haul. So we have to build better boundaries. And in thinking about what it means to build better boundaries, who remembers Pinocchio, the 1940s Pinocchio from Disney? Who remembers that? I'm telling you, I grew up with all the true classic Disney movies, I'm telling you. And so one thing that stood out to me in Pinocchio was Pleasure Island. Who remembers Pleasure Island in Pinocchio? I'll tell you, for those who don't remember Pleasure Island. Pleasure Island was this place all of the young boys wanted to go. They were tired of their society telling them that they had to restrict and have limits on their behavior, that they couldn't eat all that they wanted to eat, and they couldn't do whatever they wanted to do. And so they saw this enticement from this place that had advertisement and this place that had all the bells, the whistles, the lights. And so all of the boys who didn't want limitations said, I don't want to live in this area of protection. I don't want to live in this place with all these rules. I want to go to Pleasure Island, and that they did. And as they came into the Pleasure Island, they could hear on the loudspeaker a voice saying, right here, boys, right here, get your cake, your pie, your dill pickles, and ice cream. Eat all you can. Be a glutton. Stuff yourself. It's all free, boys. It's all free. Hurry, 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 hurry. And they were excited because they felt like, I am free because I have no limitations. Only to realize the longer that they were inside of Pleasure Island, they began to lose the freedoms that they were born with. They ceased to be themselves, and they began to transform into these donkeys. And y'all know the other name for the donkeys. Why? Because the island was designed to look like the perfect paradise who wanted to live free from boundaries. But when they began to embrace the culture from the island, they succumbed to the curse that was a part of the island. And over a gradual period of time, those healthy people ended up becoming destructive donkeys. And so what is the symbolism of Pleasure Island to a life without boundaries? And so Pleasure Island is any area in your life that's lacking the enforcement of limitations. It looks like it's exciting to do whatever I want. Remember when we were teenagers and we said, I can't wait till I get out of this house and get to do whatever I want to do. And we got out of this house and they hit us with a rent bill and we said, what is this? What do you mean I had to come up with every meal on my own? Nobody is sitting here preparing all my meals for me? What do you mean rent has to be paid every month? We just did this last month. What do you mean? It's the first again. But the boys didn't immediately become donkeys. They became donkeys over a period of time, and there was a breaking down of their liberties that first started with their ears changing from human ears to donkey ears. And this symbolizes when we stop listening to wisdom. And so the ears that we have from the Spirit of God leading us, we begin to be like the donkeys and become stubborn and try to do things our own way. Once their ears change, then their laughing changed, which means that when I stop listening to wisdom and my laughter changes, it means that a life without boundaries will cause me to lose the joy that comes with living a fulfilled life. There is nothing more exciting in this current season of my wife and I's life for someone to either cancel an appointment or tell us we don't have to go out somewhere. There is nothing more, like, don't feel bad. Like, do not feel bad. Like, hey, listen, I just want to stay in. I know I said I wanted to go out with y'all, but, you know, I'm a changed man. We'll look at it next time. Bet. Bet. Got it. Because I've learned the blessing of margin. When people say, oh, I know we have this session with you, but we've got to cancel. That gives me a free hour to just, this is what I used to do. I used to get a free hour that canceled and then call back my waiting list and say, do you want to fill this hour? Until I realized I was so much more productive with those who the Lord already knew were going to show up. I'm so much more available to the most important relationships in my life. Because the biggest deterrent to progress is activity. Because we end up doing a bunch of things, but they're not the right thing. And so boundaries teach us by principle how to do what's right, because there will always be a need present. Of course, my calendar looks full, but there's one day where there is nothing that's on it. And just to balance and to not sound like the Sabbath general here, there are some Fridays that I actually do work, but I have to be accountable and say, I'm working on this Friday, so hold me accountable to take off these hours on this Monday, or finding another day to take it off. Because there are sometimes you have to do mission critical work on a Friday or on your Sabbath. But the goal of the heart behind it is not to get rigid on the day, but making sure that I'm planning strategic rest. So their laughing changed, so they lost their joy. Then after their laughing changed, their hands and feet began to change. And so that meant they lost the ability to begin choosing the life that they wanted. And they were now forced to do what someone else said at the dictates of someone else's schedule. And after they lost the ability to choose, they then were unable to speak. And so now we're in this cycle with no boundaries. We stop listening to wisdom. We stop having joy behind what we're doing. We're we feel forced now to do what we're doing. Now we're unable to speak or find my voice to speak up. People afraid to stand in their truth. And then the last step after that is they were then sold into hard labor. And so now it breeds a culture or a lifestyle of compliance and resentment. I gotta do this. I don't necessarily wanna do this. Think about where you are in your life. What in your life is like, ugh, if there was another way to do something else, I would. In that area, I want you to think about where you can begin setting up boundaries so that you could get your joy back. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. So we're talking about building better boundaries. Because boundaries, in short, they define us. In the same way that a physical boundary defines where a property line begins and ends, a psychological and spiritual boundary defines who we are and who we are not. And that defines the projects, the relationships, the environments we undertake. When I got crystal clear about the mission of the Outlet Community Church, I quit trying to do everything and just do what we're supposed to do. If it's not what we're supposed to do, then we're just not going to do it. But getting clear about what you're supposed to do then lets you know who's supposed to go along and do it with you. When you don't know your purpose, you're going to accept any invitation for companionship rather than understanding that there is a reason that you are alive. Dr. Henry Cloud says that we must consider what has kept us from developing healthy boundaries. Is it past injury and distorted thinking that can interfere with our attempts to create boundaries? He says, to the degree that we have not been allowed in the past to own or take charge of our own bodies, take charge of our own feelings, take charge of our own attitudes, behaviors, thoughts, abilities, choices, wants, and limits, we are injured. And as a result of injuries and our fallen condition, we then distort God's ultimate plan for our life. As I've had you in Proverbs chapter 2, let's look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, for the Lord grants wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Let's drop down. He guards the paths of the just and protect those who are faithful to him. Verse 11, wise choices, wise boundaries will watch over you, and understanding will keep you safe. This is important because boundaries are the pathway to peace. Peace is not the absence of problems, but it's the serenity in knowing that in the midst of chaos, God, you were with me, and I've trusted you with my life. In this pathway to peace, if I did a survey, whether it be in person or online, how many of you would desire more peace in various areas of your life? I mean, I would too. I solely want more peace. But in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 9, as we know is the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. He did not say, blessed are the peace keepers. When you make something, there's going to be a level of conflict in its production. There is a convergence of different norms and realities that have to come together to make the final product. But often we lack boundaries because we're trying to keep everyone else at bay, and we experience the turmoil they're supposed to experience so they can learn how to manage what's going on within them instead of you managing your problems, and now their problems become your problem. I don't want to tell them how I really feel because then they're going to feel some type of way and they're just going to get down on themselves, and so I'm just going to ignore this conversation. And so they're mindlessly just roaming about life and skipping through the tulips, and you are dealing with the turmoil of resenting having to have an inauthentic relationship because we just won't tell the truth. and telling the truth and having boundaries and being a person who's a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper, means committing to setting boundaries that are loving, firm, and consistent. Loving, firm, consistent. I can't be afraid to set a boundary because of how someone else will feel about my boundary, because I cannot control how someone else feels. Only thing I can do is set the boundary, because my goal is to walk in love. I have to set my boundary and be firm and consistent in it so that I can begin to condition myself to a healthy lifestyle for this season that I'm in. So what happens is it causes you to be proactive, and it causes you to have to make less decisions than if you were to have to always be analyzing everything and every situation, every nuance. They did a study on the most, those who had the most wealth in America. And they noticed there was a common characteristic about those who are the wealthiest in America. They don't suffer from what's called decision fatigue. So they wear the same outfits, they have the same schedule, they kind of have a set routine, because they know that their mind is going to have to expend certain energy to handle what's paying them, as opposed to losing that energy in small, minuscule tasks. Boundaries help to answer a whole lot of questions from you. Boundaries on your teams help to answer a whole lot of questions for you. This is the expectation. Either we're going to meet the expectation or this team is not for you. It's going to help in relationships. These are the things that are acceptable. If this life is not what you want, then this relationship is not for you. This is what I'm able to give. If that's not good enough, then that's not good enough for you. Instead of contorting and changing who we are. Colossians 3 and 15. As this is a pathway to peace. It says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Another version of the Bible says, let the peace of God be an umpire in your heart, telling you what is out, what is safe. The peace of God is what we go by, not what we see. So when you set boundaries initially, things are going to get worse before they get better. Just hands down, it's proven. Because a person who has a boundary enforced on them, it's because they don't enforce boundaries on themselves. So they feel a level of disrespect that you would stand firm and consistent and loving in the truth that you need at the moment. And we cannot be afraid of relationships that choose to leave as a result of us making sure that we order our life according to the wisdom of God. Listen, if you lose a contract because you set a boundary, then that wasn't the contract at the cost you wanted it to have. Because I know they're paying you this amount, but what emotional cost do you have to maintain it? And let me tell y'all something about my generation. We will leave a good paying job if it means your peace. Trust me when I say, there are some people, there, the older saints in here already understand, you have made a whole lot of money but would have gave it all back for a basic salary and some good old-fashioned peace. Boundaries are the pathway that form peace in our life. Everybody's praying for more peace, and God is asking you to set one boundary. Peace is not a figment of our imagination, but peace, they call it peacetime after what? War. It's going to be some friction, but I guarantee you, if you take that first step, you are going to live a more free life and undo the cycle that we saw take place on Pleasure Island. So now let me end with some practical tips, because I didn't really have the full conversation I need to have about boundaries. I'm introducing this context so that I could have you all go look for it. All right, so practically, our church has purchased for every member, every partner, anybody who knows anybody that's a part of the outlet, we have purchased a digital library of over 20,000 hours of resources for your personal growth and development. We were all created to thrive in love, in freedom, and responsibility. That's the goal for your life. How can I maximize the love I share? How can I maximize the freedom I live in? But how can I take responsibility for my own growth and development? Well, it's our job at the outlet to empower, equip you, develop, and deploy you. And so with Right Now Media, this is a free subscription for every person at every age. There's content for our young children. There's content for our elementary students, our middle, our high school students that's tailored directly to them for their growth, their development, to counteract their YouTube time. So instead of telling them, hey, cut all that stuff off, replace something that they're doing with something that's going to invest in their spiritual growth and direction. You can download the app of Right Now Media, but this is how you get a part of Right Now Media. You can text the letters TOCC to the number 49775. Now, I just talked about our children because I really want them to counteract, because as we learned last week, they don't watch TV. So we have something for them. For those of us who are in college, those of us who are adults, those of us who want to grow and expand, we also have this library in place for you. Because there's a general diet that I'm giving our church so that we can be holistic. But sometimes, instead of going to the general practitioner, every now and then we need to see a specialist. And so Right Now Media allows you to go to the specialist of your choice at no cost. This is our investment into the spiritual growth and development of our church. And so if you have a Right Now Media account, a lot of the information that I'm looking at to develop this series is coming from Dr. Henry Cloud and his work surrounding boundaries and his book Changes That Heal. What you'll notice on Right Now Media is that he has a 5-week teaching that allows you to then break off and have small group discussion with your family and with your friends. And there's so much technology that's still being rolled out by Right Now Media that allows you to connect with family and friends across the country and hold Bible studies, because I'm just inspiring you this morning. But the true change is going to be what you do on Monday through the next time we meet on Sunday. That's how you're going to change. I'm interested in you changing. I'm interested in making sure you have the right tools. I'm interested in you growing in love, in freedom, and responsibility. Because you'll notice that when you set more boundaries, you'll be on a mission to help others set boundaries in their lives. Because that's the biggest issue in almost every situation that comes to meet in our office. Lack of boundaries, whether it's in finances, whether it's in nutrition, whether it's in their marriage, whether it's on their job. If they just strengthen their wherewithal, their knowledge base, they'll have stronger boundaries in order to facilitate all that God has given them. Amen. Amen. This was like class today. Amen. If you all would join me on your feet. Amen. I'm done. I gave you all enough today. Amen. Next week, I'm bringing in the heavy hitter. Bringing in reinforcements in the gift of Minister Deanna Jo Vivian, who is a licensed professional counselor and, in my opinion, a darn good minister, too, at that, and Christian. And she will be with us to help kind of bring this series home. I said I didn't want to have a series on healing and make it real mystical, and I want you to cry out to God. Cry out, Father, 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 shout till it release, shout till it release, shout till it release. And then you get in your car and you still busted. Oh, don't do it. I tune up if you do it. Listen. If he tune it, I'll do it. Don't tune me now. Don't. He gonna press me now. I told you I'm a hoop. I'm a hoop before the year's out. We need tools, y'all. We need to go home and practice this stuff. Quit being so spiritual and not do nothing naturally. It's a problem with the church. Church got all kind of books, seminars, holy oils, conference tapes, and still bitter and hurt and don't know how to forgive nobody. Doggone it. We need to be healed, y'all, and help others to get healed. I want us, before we close, to say this prayer together, especially for those who may have trouble setting boundaries. I'm not going to have you raise your hand today. But if we can close our eyes, I want you all to say this prayer after me. Say, Father, I ask that you would give me the wisdom and courage needed as I develop skills to set boundaries with the various relationships and responsibilities in my life. May your Spirit help me to live out these powerful truths that I am learning about. The freedom and the responsibility that come with establishing and maintaining healthy boundaries. May your Spirit enable me to fulfill your request to love one another as you love me, by first showing me who I am and enabling me to freely give myself away. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. While your eyes are still closed in this moment of prayer, even for those who are watching online, if you're in here today and just find yourself in various areas, just like, you know what, I'm tired of having and going through this, what seems like the same cycle over and over again. I want to live a more fulfilled life that comes from setting healthy boundaries. If that's you in here today, no one's looking around, just slip your hand up right now. I see that hand right there. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. You all can put your hands down. I just want to get in agreement with you, but now challenge you to take the next step and grow in your awareness and grow in your understanding as it relates to boundaries, and really dig deep and to see what's causing me to be lenient in these areas. And that's where you'll find healing. So, Heavenly Father, for those who have lifted their hand in person, as well as those who have gotten a prayer with us online, I ask you that Your spirit is with them to enable them, to walk with them, to help guide them in all that they do. Father, may we realize with you, we have everything that we need. Father, we're available for you to lead, guide, and direct, and to keep us in all of our ways. Father, I pray for our entire congregation. I say shalom, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. Until the next time we meet, Father, surround them in all of your goodness. May this be the best week of their life. In Jesus' name.